Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Hey, real quick, want to give a shout out to James up in Stoneville, North Carolina. He's a friend of the show. Hell, he's a friend of the family now. We were able to go ahead and help his family recently save more than $1,200 a month. Really think about this. My man Robbie didn't save $1,200 one time. He's going to save it each and every month, all because he went to savewithconrad.com. He left us a 5-star review earlier this week, and he said this: from the first phone call with Christian, all the hard work Diane put in, Jennifer taking time to explain things and help me understand where we were at with the deal, right up to Steve helping me get this survey through, nothing but professionalism all around. Dealing with First Family has helped us to the point we've cut $1,200 a month off our bills. I can't say enough about the team Conrad has assembled. I highly recommend First Family to anyone looking to purchase or refinance their home. Thanks to Conrad and the entire First Family team. No, thank you, James, for the great review, and congratulations on saving $1,200 a month. And oh, by the way, you can skip your next two house payments. It's real, folks. SaveWithConrad.com can help you. We're licensed in more than 40 states, but if you've got credit card debt, if you're looking to save money on your monthly payments, if you're looking to pay your house off faster, or even buy a house with no money down, SaveWithConrad.com is your hookup. Holler if you hear me. That's SaveWithConrad.com. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. And oh, by the way, you don't need perfect credit. You don't need money out of your pocket. What are you waiting for? Find out how much money you can save for free at SaveWithConrad.com. Hey, it's Conrad Thompson here to tell you a little bit about AdFreeShows.com. People often ask me, what exactly is AdFree Shows all about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Not only do you get early ad-free access to all of my podcasts starting at just $9, but you also get many of your other favorite wrestling podcasts like Click This with Kevin Nash, Gentleman Villain with William Regal, Oh, You Didn't Know with Brian James, and others. But yes, still just $9 a month. That's 14 podcasts in total every single week, early with no ads. That's like 20 cents an episode. And yes, you can listen to them all directly through Apple Podcasts or through your regular podcast apps. How easy is that? Want some more cheese on that whopper? AdFreeShows.com has literally tens of thousands of hours worth of bonus content, including fantastically popular series like Current Fires Back, Idle Chase, and Strictly Business. And I don't know why this is a thing, but there's even more than 40 Ask Conrad episodes waiting for you at AdFreeShows.com. We've got monthly Zoom chats with all the podcast hosts, live watch-alongs with wrestling legends, and more. Come on now. See for yourself what thousands of other wrestling fans have already discovered. That's AdFreeShows.com. It's the best value in wrestling today. Check it out right now. AdFreeShows.com. You'll be glad you did.
Woo Wings, a virtual restaurant concept from the man himself, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. Enjoy the legendary flavors and world championship wings by ordering with your Uber Eats or Postmates app. Woo Wings is now open in Nashville, San Antonio, Jacksonville, Florida, as well as Huntsville and Tuscaloosa in Alabama, with many more locations coming soon. Try the only chicken wings worthy of carrying the name of the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion. Tell them, Nate.
Wings! Legendary flavors! World Championship wings! Woo! Woo Wings! Yeah! Woo woo!
Welcome to Something to Wrestle With.
Something to Wrestle With.
Bruce Pritchard.
Bruce Pritchard.
Well, you know.
That's not a rib.
She pooted.
She pooted.
What a rib.
No, you have a meal.
There's no box of gimmicks.
Rumor and innuendo.
I don't deal in rumor and innuendo.
And
was he there?
I was there.
Say something about
I don't. Give a shit. I ain't scared.
I ain't scared of
shit. Fuck him.
Fuck you, Bruce.
I love you.
Take the cheese.
Double cheeseburger.
You take the bread.
Double cheese.
Well, you know.
And then double mayo.
You know, it's called chicken salad.
Double onion, mother.
Oh.
You're nothing but an egg-sucking dog.
from the Google machine.
God damn, kid.
God damn it.
What the hell show you got there?
I need more news. Yeah.
What say you?
Pronouns, pal.
And now, something to wrestle with. Con Bruce Pritchard.
Eek, the second most recognizable athlete in the entire world today.
Conrad Olsen.
What happened when? What would Vince say about that?
Well, hey, Vince. Tell ya.
My shoulders look good tonight.
Yeah.
You're so big.
Yeah.
That's good.
Bullshit.
Welcome to WrestleMania.
World title now.
Welcome to something to wrestle
something
with.
Something to wrestle
something
with.
Something to wrestle with.
Something to wrestle with.
Dig it.
Bruce Pritchard.
Hello and welcome to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Bruce, how are you this week?
Well, you know, sometimes a sketch is better than an oil painting, and that's fine. I absolutely, positively love Rick Rubin's Twitter.
Ah.
He comes up with this stuff that is so absolutely logical and makes you kind of think a little bit, and it's the guy is a bona fide genius. So I've had the opportunity to talk with him and meet him. He's a bona fide genius, and I really like his stuff. So that there's your Twitter verse tip.
There you go. All right.
Wait a minute. Conrad, what's wrong with your voice, man?
Well, I got a frog in my throat. Dude, this is not Conrad. This is Paul Bromwell, and Conrad, peek behind the curtain, is sick, man. He is not feeling well, and he tagged me in. I'm back, and I know that's a lot of people aren't thrilled about that, but they're getting one half of the greatest wrestling podcast in history.
Wait a minute, Bruce Conrad's Pritchard. Not here?
He's not here. No, Connie, it's me and you. I haven't been with you in a long while.
Oh, you've never been with me, Pally.
I missed you. I get to talk a lot to Dr. Tom, your brother, but I don't get to talk to you as nearly as much as I'd like to.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, I like Dr. Tom. Like him a lot. Good guy. But listen, Bruce, this episode is ask me questions and shit. So are you ready to jump in? And
this is one of my favorites is ask me questions and shit. I may not answer all your questions nor shit. But, hey, you know what I realized? And, I mean, I don't know, but my office door is open, which is probably echoing throughout the entire house. So you keep talking. I'm going to be right over here. Actually, I'll keep talking. I'll talk from over here.
Okay.
You can probably hear it and all that stuff while I shut this door while they do their thing over there. And, cause I'm kind of loud. I know that's hard to believe.
And you can't even hear me.
Look at the headphones before I put them on to make sure which one is R and which one is L.
Bruce, what have you been up to, by the way? Can we start the show that way? Because you and I haven't talked, and I know you're busy. Can I at least ask what have you been up? How have things been going? How you feeling? What's going on?
Well, Pablo.
Here we go.
Is that not your name?
It is. It's the Spanish form.
Yeah, I'm tapping into my Spanish side tonight.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, one time, as a matter of fact, one time, John Layfield and I were going to vacation at Pablo Escobar's house right outside of, Cancun.
Okay.
And his beautiful, lovely wife, an extremely intelligent and bright wife, she found this house, and unfortunately, we never got to go do that, and instead we had a nice vacation in Cancun, but we didn't get to stay at old Pablo's house, and now I don't think they rent it out anymore.
Ah, missed opportunity there.
Yeah, no, I work for a living.
Yeah, well, you do. That's why I want to hear, I mean, how you been? How you feeling? You feeling good? You look good. You're relaxed. Ah, I can see you on Skype.
Feeling great.
Yeah.
Feeling great. Yeah. I was shingling my roof just the other day, and I'm doing great. I got the shingles mastered. You know, they have a vaccine for that now.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Yeah. And if you haven't gotten the shingles vaccine and you're of age, make sure you do that.
We highly recommend it.
We highly recommend it.
Now, there you go. I'm going to give you a pro tip. It hurts like hell.
That's what I've heard.
You got to take two of them, but the alternative is, trust me, you'll want to take the two shots.
Yeah, because you don't want the alternative, Bruce. No doubt about it. For all our listeners that have had them, if you've had them, you know exactly what he's talking about. So there you go. Well, listen, let's jump into it because you're not going to tell us anything.
I'm not jumping anywhere.
No? Well, no. Okay.
Now, my feet get up. They take steps. That's about it.
Your jumping days are over.
My jumping days are long gone. Not that they were ever that high. I mean, I have been, but my jumps haven't.
We know that you've been. I'm kind of questioning what you're up to right now.
You want to know what the hell's going on? So, So I'm actually going to go see what is being at least described as we sit here today as one of Aerosmith's last shows in Las Vegas at their residency in December.
Oh, okay.
And then I hope to be seeing one of Ron White's last shows as he's on his retirement tour in Las Vegas that very same weekend. But in typical form, what I'm probably most excited about is that I'll also be seeing Piff the Magic Dragon.
Wow.
With Mr. Piffles.
Look at you.
I am a big Piff fan. And also part of that weekend, probably go see my good friends Billy Gibbons and Elwood with ZZ Top.
ZZ Top, yep.
I've seen Elwood play with ZZ before.
Okay.
But just, you know, like is Elwood, but he has stepped into Dusty's old spot. And real excited about that. And shout out to Elwood because he's a big fan of the show. And I'm a big fan of his, by God.
Have you ever accidentally dropped out of an important Zoom call because of a flaky Wi-Fi connection? Or maybe you struggled to upload or download a file while away from home? Well, what if you could use more than one internet connection at the same time? Like the hotel or coffee shop Wi-Fi and the cellular data connection on your phone for their combined speed and reliability? Well, Speedify is the only app that can combine multiple internet sources into one bonded super connection to improve live streaming, video calling, gaming, web browsing, and everything else you do online. And let me explain, it's super simple to use. It runs in the background. Speedify lets you combine any number or type of internet connection for better performance. And Speedify is available on all of your devices. That's right, your PC, your Mac, your iPhone, your Android, even for you Linux guys out there. But that's not all. At its core, Speedify is also a VPN, which means it encrypts all of your web traffic to improve privacy and security. So what are you waiting for? You deserve better internet, and Speedify can help deliver it. Download Speedify today at speedify.com/wrestle. That's speedify.com/wrestle. speedify.com/wrestle.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, I'll put you on the spot here. Favorite Aerosmith song of all time? You have a favorite?
Hot wax, Jimmy, honey, what do you say? I got a brand new record that I got to play. She says, not now, boy, but I did anyway, because I'm ready. So ready. It's F-I-N-E. Fine. Fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and you guess the last one.
All right. ZZ Top. Do you have a favorite ZZ Top song?
Probably Tush. LaGrange, man.
LaGrange, yep, there you go.
I've been to the hallowed grounds of LaGrange.
We're already asking questions and shit.
And that little ranch there where they raise chickens and shit.
Mm. Well, man, sounds like you're gonna have a big December in Las Vegas.
You gonna ask me what my favorite Mr. Piffles and
Let's hear
Dragon spot is.
Let's hear it. Go ahead.
Is when he came out for the very first time and said, "Hey, my name is Piff the Magic Dragon. You might have heard of my brother." You ever hear of his brother?
No.
Frank.
Okay.
No, I laughed for days. I thought that was the funniest damn thing I'd ever heard.
Bruce, I'm excited for you because you know what? It sounds like you're going to have a couple of big nights. You mentioned Ron White. And I love the fact that you're going to be able to relax a little bit and have some fun.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that relaxing part, but
I'll try to.
I'm going to go see, you know, it's nice because I'm going to go see my Ron's a friend. ZZ Top's a friend. I'd like to meet Piff. And maybe I've met Joe and Steven before.
Okay.
But I would have to say that I might have been in altered states at the time. And they might have been too, so neither one of us would really, you know, remember it. But
hey. I was going to say, so actually meet each other this time and remember meeting each other this time is what you'd like to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that they would really give a shit, but
but you would.
I would, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan, man.
Yeah, get that group pick. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's Pink, you know, it's in...
It's your favorite color?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with
it.
Yeah. Nothing like loving an elevator either.
You got any shit for me? What do you got?
Let's do this. I got questions and shit. Michael Eldridge, my buddy, he's going to kick us off. I love it. He said, Bruce, we're jumping right into the wrestling. Hypothetically, had Vince Jr. not purchased and developed WWE into
There is no Vince Jr.
Okay.
Okay. That's a misconception. Never has been a Vince Jr. There's a Vincent J. McMahon.
Okay.
Who took over the business from his father, Jess McMahon. Okay. So there was Jess McMahon.
Vincent J.
And then he had a son, Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
That's right.
So it's not a junior.
No, it can't be.
That would be incorrect.
All right.
Are we speaking about Vincent Kennedy?
We're talking Vincent Kennedy. Let's go Vincent Kennedy.
Ask me your question.
Here we go. Hypothetically, had Vincent Kennedy not purchased and developed WWE into what it became during the 80s, how different would professional wrestling have looked? Would another territory attempt to go national like Gagne, Watts, or Crockett Jr.?
You know, I think that had the Southern promoters, and when I say Southern promoters, I will specifically speak about Georgia Championship Wrestling, because Georgia Championship Wrestling was really one of the first promotions that had national exposure on WTBS.
That's right.
So they had the opportunity to go national, but they used it to go wider in their own territory. They
South.
Used it to expand into, well, no, they used it to go up into Ohio. They used it to go kind of a little bit into the Carolinas, and they used it to spread out a little bit. Where TBS kind of had its stronghold. And I think the so who knows? I mean, look, they had their opportunity. They tried. They didn't succeed. They also had the opportunity to take their talent, and their talent could have reaped the rewards as well, like Tommy Rich. Tommy Rich was able to be booked in different territories. Tommy would come to Texas and Tommy would go, you know, whether it was Memphis or wherever, and he was a huge star on the WTBS Superstation. So when he came in, he was made. He was like a big star out of that pond. So I don't know. I think that a lot of them, I think that they had the wherewithal to expand beyond wrestling. And I think that's where Vince and WWE was able to grow it, because they didn't just do wrestling. they grew from the outside in. They were able to bring in Muhammad Ali, Cyndi Lauper, Liberace, and the like to expand and expose it to a much larger audience.
Do you think also, too, Vince was really that first guy that he didn't have to want to play by the rules, meaning a lot of the regional wrestling wanted to make sure they, you know, whether it was the NWA board or the regional rules or work together with the promoters, where Vince kind of had that, hey, I'm going to build what I want to build here. It's going to be national. And if I step on toes, I step on toes in order to accomplish the big picture.
Well, the misconception is that Vince did all of that, just went out roughshod. And what he really did that a lot of people, you know, will poo-poo and say, no, Vince went to those promoters. Vince called Watts. Vince called Vern, met with Vern. Vince met with the regional promoters and said, hey, here's what I'd like to do. Here is a way that we could actually work together and grow this thing. I'm going to go national. I would like to be able to run, for example, Minneapolis or what have you, you know, with you, Vern, and use your talent and you be a promoter in this area, but you will have a much bigger base from the USA Network. And from our stuff, we would still use your local TV. But Vern wouldn't have had it all. It probably would have made Vern's business better in the long run. But every one of them, with, you know, a couple of exceptions, one exception being Mike LaBelle in Los Angeles, another exception would probably be Stu Hart in Calgary, that they said, yeah, let's work together.
Yeah.
So there was an opportunity for everybody to work together. The stalwarts told them to go to hell. You know, I'll bury you, kid. You don't know what the hell you're doing. And it's like, okay, I'm going to do it with you or without you. I'd like to do it with you. You don't want to work with me. Cool. Then, you know, I'll move on and I'll do it on my own.
All right. And he certainly did that. Next question is a fun question. It's from Zol Lopez, big time ad-free shows member. He says, Bruce, what's your go-to for convenience store snacks when on the road? Any must-haves? So, Bruce, when you're on the road, late night, whatever, you hit that 24/7 convenience store, what's your go-tos?
It really depends. A lot of times, used to be, back in the day, Cool Ranch Doritos. But it depends on kind of what time, day or night. Now I'm on this damn The Rock's energy drink. Okay. I always look for that.
Yeah, Zoe.
Yeah, it's excellent. And so, like, now whenever I go in, I immediately go back and look for that. And if I can't find anything there, I just get water.
Okay. So no more Cool Ranch. You're done. You're done on Cool Ranch.
Yeah, kind of in. Kind of in. And I think of candy, it would probably be like one of those Reese's Big Cups.
Oh.
Big, thick son of a gun.
Do you see the ones now? They're like stuffed with like Reese's Pieces. And
yeah, I don't want that shit, man.
No?
Leave it alone.
Okay.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. That's it. Don't put all that shit in there.
No potato chips and shit.
No, you don't need all that crap.
All right.
Why can't people leave well enough alone?
Yeah.
By now you guys know how passionate I am about Chili Sleep. I absolutely love it. I sleep on one every single night. I even travel with one, but I've got big news for you right now. Sleep Me is the new home for Chili Sleep. Now they're bringing you the same great sleep that Chili Sleep offered, but under a new name. Sleep Me makes the coldest and most comfortable sleep systems available. They create the environment that meets the body's natural need for lower core temperatures. That's going to help you promote deeper restorative sleep. Chili Sleep makes the Uller, the Cube, and the Doc Pro sleep systems. These are water-based, temperature-controlled mattress toppers that fit over your existing mattress to provide you your ideal sleep temperature. These mattress pads keep your bed at the perfect temperature for deep, cold sleep. These sleep systems are designed to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and give you the confidence and energy to power through your day. And they also just launched the brand new Doc Pro sleep system. It has two times more cold power than other models. It's whisper quiet. and it has a tubeless mattress pad design that allows for 5 times more cooling contact. Pair it with the new Sleep.me app for enhanced device control and sleep scheduling. Head on over right now to sleep.me/wrestle to learn more and save 20% off the purchase of any new Doc Pro, Cube, or Uller sleep system. Now, this offer is available exclusively for Something to Wrestle With listeners. It's only for a limited time. That's sleep, S-L-E-E-P, .me/wrestle to take advantage of our exclusive discounts and wake up feeling refreshed every day.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Like, so do you have a favorite convenience store? Because I mean, around here, I'm in the Northeast, so Wawa is a big hit. Sometimes I see a Sheetz. Is there a place where you're driving?
Yeah, they're the Sheetz.
What, they're the Sheetz?
You know, I guess on the road, Bucky's or
Bucky's
or Wawa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. All right. Here we go. Wrestling question. We're back at it. Instagram, a wrestling historian. Is it true John Cena wanted to lose to Edge at Unforgiven 2006 so he could go back to SmackDown and turn heel?
Thanks. I think there was a part of John that always wanted to kind of turn heel, but also he understood the business of him not turning heel. And once he really grasped that, he embraced it and went all just full in on it. So, look, John's probably one of the most unselfish guys that, I've ever met. And I could definitely see him, you know, his whole thing was, how do we get other people over? I don't know where that instance particularly, but I know John always was looking at turning heel. Yes.
Yeah. Do you wish now, as you sit in your chair there looking all comfortable, as a wrestling fan, would you think it'd be fun to see John Cena as a heel when he became a mega star? I know he didn't want to because of what he was doing with charity.
I think that the simple fact that John Cena was able to become that Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. And to a nicer guy, it couldn't happen.
All right, Dan Dean is up next, Bruce. He says, Bruce, the double D's up next. Who would induct Brother Love into the Hall of Fame? Who would it be?
Wow, yeah, that's a loaded question because there's, you know, selfishly, but at the same time, you have to look at it from, I don't think I'm ever going in the Hall of Fame. But if I were and I were to pick, there's a handful of people that I would want to do it, you know, Vince, because of our friendship and just everything that we've been through, and I wouldn't be here if not for him. But on the other side of things, I would look at, John Layfield, Jerry Briscoe, and or my brother and or Taker.
All solid choices, no doubt about it. And man, what you said, and you say, hey, there's no way I'd go in or Brother Love would go in. Well, I tell you what, you've had so much influence. Talk about Undertaker.
But also, he's no longer with us. But I think, you know, in dreaming days of yesteryear, Bobby Heenan probably would have been my first choice.
Bobby Heenan Jr. What could have been? All right, FF Handbook's up next, Bruce. We want to try to get
FFU.
Yeah, well, FF Handbook. I want to try to get as many of these in as I can tonight since we got you. If Haku was in WWE at the time of Brawl for All, would he have been allowed to participate?
Sure, he probably would have been allowed to participate. I don't know how he would have done with boxing gloves on. Ultra tough guy, but yeah. You know, the boxing gloves and the rules – in some ways would hamper your, you know, I think that they would have hampered Ken Shamrock and Severn both. just not.
It's not the style they're used to.
Yeah. It's different.
Yeah. George Jones is up next, Bruce. His question. Look at your
face. He stopped loving her today. Wait, no, they put a wreath upon his door. Well, he stopped loving her today anyway, that whore.
He says, what was the most interesting wrestler's court you have ever attended?
You know, I tried to stay clear of that and didn't attend a lot of them. So it was, I don't know, man. It's kind of like Fight Club. Rule number one of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club.
Don't talk about it. When I first said wrestler's court, was there one thing that popped into your one wrestler's court that immediately you visualized that popped into your mind that sticks out to you more than others? Let's do it that way.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, it just, you know, it was always fun and you always kind of, I think anybody going into it pretty much knew the outcomes.
All right. Adam Arpin is up next. He said, let's say Ric Flair doesn't leave the WWF in the early 90s. Lawler doesn't come in. All of Jerry's programs go to Rick. When it comes to Survivor Series 94, do you have Rick team up with three mini versions of himself? Or do you have him team up with mini versions of Arn and other horsemen to face Doink and the Clowns R Us?
Wait, what?
All right, I'm going to start it at the beginning again. This is a real hypothetical. All right, here we go. Let's say Ric Flair doesn't leave the WWF in the early 90s. Okay, so Flair hasn't left. Lawler doesn't come in, and all of Jerry's programs go to Rick. You with me so far? So Lawler never came in. They're all going to Rick. When it comes time for Survivor Series 94, do you have Rick team up with three mini versions of himself? Or do you have him team up with many versions of Arn and other horsemen to face Doink and Clowns R Us?
I got another hypothetical for you. I hung myself and I wasn't there when that happened.
Wow. We're going way deep on that one, Adam. I love you, buddy, but wow. You took some time to come up with some of that. What were you drinking? What were you smoking?
Adam, what if your mom wasn't in the mood on that fateful night that Dad was feeling a little frisky? And you didn't ask me this fucking question. There's what if for you.
Oh, boy. Let's move on to Anthony. He said, had the screw job not happened, would there have been a possibility of seeing Owen Hart challenging for the world title against Bret or Shawn?
Well, if the screw job hadn't happened, then Bret would have dropped the title and we would just not have had a screw job. But Owen definitely would have been in the mix. So, yeah,
that would happen. Yeah. All right, Brian Harems is up next, Bruce. He said, how many times did he go to the strip club and full Brother Love makeup and try to save the strippers?
That would be zero, because I never went into, and I don't like the term strip club. They're gentlemen's establishments.
Okay. He's got standards. He's got standards, guys.
I do. But I don't think that I would ever go in to save them. I would go in to teach them.
What would that sound like for you teaching some gentlemen's club workers?
I would explain to the young women that were there that the reason they were there.
Can you do it
in Brother Love's voice?
Can you?
No, I wouldn't do it in Brother Love's voice, because the soothing tone of Bruce was much more convincing and allowed them to absorb the knowledge so much better. And I just explained to them why they were there, and they were there. It's a business. You can't look at it emotionally, because most people will go into a gentleman's establishment sometimes with emotion.
Oh yeah.
Hoping that by God, they're going to meet the love of their life, or they're going to have the time of their life with one of these young ladies that are there just trying to earn a living.
That's right.
At least they should be. And I would simply point out and try to help them. Then, by God, that young man over there looks like he's got a wad of cash in his pocket and probably looking to want to give it away.
Let's hope it's a wad of cash in his pocket.
Yeah, I would hope so, because I wasn't looking that far in the middle. I would always look off to the side. See what just went right in the gutter.
Oh, man, so good. I would love to be there for that speech.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Ben Jones is up next.
BJ.
Yep, BJ's up next. Speaking of gutter. In your home office is a picture of you with a black eye, Bruce. What's the story on that?
Brock Lesnar kicked a wall into my face. And when we were in Nova Scotia, we finished up a shoot, and the folks that had constructed the wall had constructed it very well and were in the process of trying to get Brock out of this room that had kind of started to collapse. And Brock didn't feel like waiting. So Brock started moving walls on his own. And when he did, that said wall came crashing into my face, broke my nose in three places, shattered my orbital, collapsed on the side of my sinuses.
What?
So yeah, I that was a lot of fun. And then I flew from Nova Scotia to New York so that I could get out of Canada and I could get home quicker. But I went to a Canadian emergency room, and they don't give you, first of all, they don't give you anything for pain. Second of all, they don't give you a lot of advice, or don't give you a lot of, you know, what to do and what not to do. It's like, hey, okay, yeah, you should, yeah, you know, that's, wow, that's nasty. Hey, you should, you know, oh, you live around here, eh? No? Okay. Well, you know, when you get to where you live, maybe ask your doctor, eh? You know, and have them look at it, eh? You know? And that was it.
Sounds like our urgent care facilities around here, yeah.
So they stitched me up. Because, like, my eye, we didn't know when I left the building, literally, if my eye was there. And they stitched me up and sent me on my way. So I get on a plane, and when I fly to New York, didn't really have any issues there. But then I go to the hotel, and I took a shower, and I might have, like, tried to blow my nose or something. And everything shot out then. My orbital completely just exploded, and my nose pretty much, everything that's and everything kind of caved in from there. But I had to go to the airport. I was in a hotel, go to the airport, get on the plane, and I'm walking through the airport. Now, I don't realize this because I really can't feel my face. It's so messed up that I'm pretty much numb. So I don't realize that I'm bleeding out of my eyes. So like the blood is just streaming down the side of my face and onto my clothes. And I got a, you know, those bags you get in the hotel to put your dirty laundry
in? That's right. Yep.
So I had taken that and I went to the ice machine and I had filled it up with ice. And I'm just walking through the airport with this cleaning bag on my head with ice.
And, oh my goodness.
And I feel the ice kind of dripping down my face, but I think it's water, not knowing that it's also mixing with the blood and straining down my face. And I get on the plane and I remember I was sitting in 1B and they were just totally freaked out. Like, are you okay? I said, yeah, no, man, I'm good. I just need to get home. And my wife was waiting for me at the airport. I had called a friend of mine And I said, hey, I need you to get me a neurosurgeon, and I need to see a doctor as soon as I land because I think I'm pretty messed up. The neurosurgeon calls me back while I'm in the air and says, hey, whatever you do, wherever you are, stay where you are, and do not, under any circumstances, get on a plane.
Yeah, no way. That the pressure.
I just didn't get that message until I was in the car off the plane on my way to the doctor.
Oh, no. Bruce, what year did this all happen?
I don't know.
Holy shit.
2000s.
That wasn't the 2000s. You can remember the decades.
sometime between 2000 and 2010. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, yeah. So, but that was, I mean, that picture actually is once they had gone in and reduced a lot, took a lot of the blood out and the swelling and at least got my eye down to where I could somewhat open it a little bit. So that picture was probably, I don't know, 5 days after.
So did you, so they had to do some type of minor surgery or something, right?
Oh, I had to have my, yeah, I had to have my nose completely redone. I had to have my sinuses pretty much all.
That all worked in comp. Thanks, Brock.
And you know what? Brock, being the classy guy that he is, sent me a nice note, and I don't know how much just king crab and lobster and just so, so much great food from Pike Place Fish and everything, but sent me a really nice note and called to check on me. And was, he didn't mean to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he didn't, you know, it was an accident, but, he still called to check on me pretty much.
And sent you some nice things.
And sent me some nice things.
There you go.
Class all the way.
All right. FF Handbook is back and he has a question for you. He says, Hogan Flair 92. Okay. So there's that match. You got Austin Hogan 02. Taker Sting 2015, which was a bigger missed opportunity by not happening? Hogan Flair 92.
Hogan Flair happened.
He's talking about in the years when they were, you know, red hot and still younger and
they were. I think that Hogan and Flair met kind of at their peaks, both of them. Didn't draw.
Wasn't a WrestleMania, you know, that
no, because it didn't draw.
So, okay, so forget that one. So that's not a missed opportunity in your eyes. What about Austin Hogan 02 or Taker Sting 2015?
Oh, God, Taker Sting, that by 2015, that was dead in the water.
Okay, so it would have been Austin Hogan 02.
You know, Austin Hogan, that.
If you had to pick.
I think, you know, that would have been nice, but you know, obviously, yeah, it didn't happen, but the Sting thing with Taker, that
was way past its prime. Yeah.
If that didn't happen in 2001, 2002, why?
Yeah. Yeah. Right after WCW. All right. Jeff Ronquillo is up next. And he says, when you decide it's time to retire, any plans on moving back to the great state of Texas?
Well, that's an interesting question there, old. What's his first name?
Jeff.
Yeah. I know Chris Ronquillo.
Oh.
Jeff, that ain't a relation. I got a question for you, Jeff. How about that?
Are you related to Chris?
You know Chris Ronquillo? I actually don't know the answer to that question. Might go to Texas, might go to Florida, might go to Alabama. I don't really know.
Down to the Connor Addison Huntsville area?
No, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd go there, but okay. I think I might go somewhere there.
Unless
it was rent free.
There you go. I mean, the guy's got a kingdom.
I mean,
you could pick a spot.
I could probably get three or four, you know, floors in the Connor Addison and everything and a wing. And have my own roles to go back and forth in between cottages and everything. But
right. And the plantation down there.
I mean, everything's so big there.
Let me ask you a question, though. What does retirement living look like for Bruce one day? Have you imagined it? Have you thought about it? Maybe not where you want to live, but what does it look like with you and the wife? And what do you want to do?
Yeah,
what?
No. See, no? That's...
No grand thoughts? No?
No. I can't. I don't know that I can really visualize myself retired. I have to do something. I would go nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you've been used to working so hard for so long that you doing nothing would drive you nuts. It would drive you crazy.
Yeah,
but you're one of those people.
I worked since I was 10 years old and always look forward to it. Most people looked at summer when we were in high school and stuff.
That's right.
Time to just chill out, do whatever. I looked at it as an opportunity to work full time in the wrestling office. So
there you go. The Bruce Pritchard mindset. Charlie Thrower is up next. Charlie Photo Guy. He says, Mr. Pritchard, as a member of Creative or
Producer, I know Johnny Photo. Ask him if he knows Johnny.
You know Johnny Photo?
Yeah, I know Johnny
Photo. You know a lot of these. You know a lot of relations.
I know. I don't know.
Well, Charlie's a photographer, so that's why he's at Charlie Photo Guy.
So's John.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Charlie, you have to hit me up. Well, he follows me on social. Hit me up and let me know if you and Johnny Photo are related or friends.
Okay.
We'll find out for you next time I'm back in 6 months or so. Mr. Pritchard, as a member of Creative or a producer, what is your proudest moment that makes you sit back and think, yeah, we did good that night? Proudest moment.
That's hard to nail down. I think that looking at some of the things that we've been able to pull off from shutting down Wall Street and having an event there in front of the New York Stock Exchange when everybody told us we couldn't do it, shutting down Times Square and having a workout in the middle of Times Square at noon and things like that. WrestleMania 2001 in Houston and the Houston Astrodome and being able to be a part of that. The event itself, the lead up to the event, the fact that, we went after a sponsor and they were looking for a small amount and I went for a huge amount and got it. So, that was kind of a ha-ha. But that probably that event overall was when you look at personally, for me, what we were able to pull off in that was pretty cool.
All right, very good. Joe is up next. Joe Gwynn, he says, stop one person from leaving when they did. Hogan in 93, Austin in 02, Punk in 14.
Austin in 02. Austin in 02. I wish I could have stopped that. I wish that never had happened. So,
yep.
Yeah. Definitely, because Steve was the biggest in the business and he was upset at something that could have been talked through.
There you go. Hey, just to see 20 years later at WrestleMania still doing a little stuff, you got to think, man, just 20 years ago, if you would have, like you said, been able to work through that. Because at the end of his question is, who left the most on the table? I mean, Austin, like you said, there you go.
Yeah.
Michael Whitaker, our buddy, says something to wrestle with. This is my question. What kind of changes do you think we could have seen from Austin if he did not get hurt? Would we still have gotten the Austin versus McMahon?
What?
What kind of changes do you think we would have seen from Austin if he did not get hurt? Would we still have gotten Austin versus McMahon? We still would have gotten Austin versus McMahon, hurt or not hurt, right? Or do you think that would have happened? I guess that's his question.
I don't think that had anything to do with Steve getting hurt. So, yeah, I think we would have eventually gotten there.
Gotten Austin McMahon. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Justin Bracken wants to know, hypothetically, what was Jim Cornette's reaction when Wendy's announced the Baconator?
Motherfucker, who puts bacon on a goddamn burger? Double cheese, double mayo, double onion, motherfucker.
Fuck you, Wendy.
There you go, Justin.
Whore.
You whore.
That's it.
Drew Landry wants to know, did Shawn Michaels bring out the best in Bret Hart and vice versa?
I think that Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, frankly, brought out the best in anybody they were in the ring with. So when you put those two together, that for them to make music together was
magic.
Absolutely tremendous. So, yeah. Yes, they brought out the best in whoever they were in the ring with. So the fact that they were the two best being in the ring together, they continually tried to outdo one another.
Andy Goldsmith's going a little different direction here, and I think I like it. He said, have you ever called Connor out in the morning and said, I love you in Brother Love's voice and hung up on him? If not, you should.
Why would I call Connor in the morning?
Connor.
Who the hell's Connor?
Connie. You know, Connie. Connor.
No. What kind of person do you think I am?
We think you're a lover.
I am.
Okay. Well, we thought maybe one of the days back in the early days when you guys were winning awards left and right, you just called them up and were like, hey, I love you. When those paychecks were rolling in, baby. Come on.
No, man. I called and said, ha ha, I got the trophy. You didn't come to the convention. Ha ha, I got the trophy.
Classic there Bruce. There it is. I see it. Yep.
That's it.
Good shit.
I
got the trophy.
I took a selfie with it and sent it to him. Said, ha ha.
Yeah. There you go.
You didn't win. I won.
Yeah. You should be thanking me. Bruce Prichard just made your life, Conrad.
Every day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Secret sauce. Fernando Diaz. I'm looking forward to this question. Bruce, any thoughts on the, and I hope you've had time. Have you checked out the new Cobra Kai and what have you thought about it? The television show.
I've actually seen the entire season, by God. So here's the deal, man. I don't know if you know this or not, so I'm going to let everybody in on a secret. I am a five-time. Am I five-time? No, I'm a four-time. I'm only a four-time. I'm a four-time Black Belt Hall of Famer. Yeah.
What haven't you done, Chris?
So, I've been in the karate biz for ever since I was like 7 years old. And
you are Mr. Miyagi. Yeah.
Well, I knew him. So here's the thing. We had those dojo wars all the time when I was a kid. You know, we would go to other dojos and we'd call them out and say, I'll see you at the Hill Valley tournament, by God. I'll see you at the ASK Invitational Hill Country Karate Austin Society bullshit this Thursday. We'll get it on. And, you know, I've been in the crane. So, yeah. I just.
Do you know the crane kick? Do you know? Did you ever do that? The old crane kick?
I just said I invented it.
Oh, okay. You invented it.
Not listening.
Yeah, well. I was thinking about, you know,
Jerry Briscoe is listening to this. It's right after I invented the headlock. I invented the crane. But so when Karate Kid came out, and I'm watching it and I'm just thinking, because our dojo was not a commercial dojo. We learned in the Parks and Recreation Department, and our instructor was a very strict instructor and what have you. So our tournaments were all just amongst his schools and what have you, and his affiliation. We didn't go to outside tournaments like the old Hill Valley tournament or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like, all right, you know, and when I first started, when we would spar, you would fight. You had to focus and when you hit, you could, so here's the thing, man, like you had to focus, but then you could kick somebody. And I think that a kick hurts more than a punch, but anyway, you had to focus. Okay. And you would hit, and we didn't wear anything. Then when they had this protective gear, and you had to wear like almost a catcher's vest that would tie around your neck and around your waist and everything. That's going to protect you. And then you'd wear like these gloves and things, and so you could hit now. Didn't protect a damn thing. But anyway, then later on, protective gear, June Reed developed protective gear and what have you. And we were able to actually make contact and things of the head and of the body. And you didn't need this whole catcher's vest, if you will. So it was not real. You know, you didn't hit like that in tournaments. You wore protective gear. And nobody is going to allow Mr. Miyagi to just enter Danielson into the damn tournament. And they're not going to have white belts against black belts. And their belt system was all fucked up. So I saw the first one. It was like, okay, you know, it's a story. It's old Danielson, Mr. Miyagi-san, and all that other crap. Now, I watched the second one because I think that was with Elizabeth Shue. No, Elizabeth Shue.
Elizabeth Shue was the first one, yeah.
Elizabeth, yeah, so like Elizabeth Shue.
Okinawa, yeah.
So then the next one, they went to Japan or something.
Okinawa, very small place.
But here's where they lost me. They lost me when old Danielson is hanging off of a cliff trimming a bonsai tree.
Oh, that was three, yeah.
So
him and his friend, who, by the way, was in Cobra Kai this past season.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, she made a cameo.
Well,
redhead.
I was in Connecticut at that time, and I remember seeing that. And I remember calling my instructor and saying, hey, man, how come we never learned the importance of trimming a bonsai tree? And that was the very last Karate Kid that I ever saw. And I don't think I was that engaged in it, but I did thoroughly enjoy Cobra Kai.
Okay.
And the, not going to give away the finish of the most recent season, but it was, look, I watched it for nostalgia and what have you. And I think that they do an excellent job of telling the story, and it's fun, and if you don't take it too seriously, it's fun and it's lighthearted. And I like, to me, the intrigue is that they've gotten every old character to come back and play themselves.
That's exactly right. They weave it all into the original. So
that's why I like it.
Yeah, I'm with you. They even brought back the Karate Kid, and I can't remember him from Karate Kid 3, the student, who owned the furniture store in the fifth season. So.
Yeah, I didn't know what the hell they were talking about there.
I know, yeah, that was Karate Kid 3. Everybody always remembers 1 and 2, and Elizabeth Shue. How can you forget her? Good Lord.
Listen, man, I know it sounds too good to be true, but I want you to just do me a favor and run on over to savewithconrad.com. Get yourself a quick quote. My man Andy M. just left us a 5-star review over at conradreviews.com, and he had this to say. The effort and communication from Josh was above and beyond. We ran into several unexpected hiccups along the way, but Josh kept us informed and kept looking for options to get things done. In the end, we were still able to refinance to a 15-year loan, or we're going to be able to pay it off in 10, and we took enough cash out to pay off our credit cards, my truck loan, and even buy my wife her very first new vehicle. We're going to save over $500 a month from what we would have been paying without the refinance. We can't thank everyone enough. Now, guys, that right there is a win-win-win situation. Let me explain. Over the last couple of years, your house is probably worth more than ever. Now, what you do with that equity is up to you. And what I'm going to recommend is we do what our man Andy did. Andy took himself from a 30-year loan down to 15 years, but he's planning to pay it off in 10. Now, how can he afford to do that? We got rid of all his credit card debt, just like that. We got rid of his truck loan, and we even got him enough cash to get his wife a new vehicle. The result? Cheaper monthly payments. How does that happen? How do you get a new car, pay off a truck, and get rid of your credit cards and cut years off your loan? You go to savewithconrad.com. We're going to get you cheaper monthly payments. And how's this for starters? No house payments for the next 2 months. That's right. You can skip your next two payments. You don't need perfect credit. You don't need money out of your pocket. And buddy, if we can't help you save some cash, we won't waste your time. And here's the best part. We don't say no. We say not yet, but here's how. I don't care if you were late here or there. Maybe you had a bankruptcy back in the day. Maybe you were late on a credit card. We're going to help you figure out how to get in the situation that your family needs now and long-term. We want to be your mortgage advisor for life at savewithconrad.com.
All right. Brad Stanton's up next. He said, what did you think of the way Big Show debuted?
Was that an actual question about Cobra Kai?
Yeah. Thoughts on the new Cobra Kai. Straight up, Fernando Diaz wanted to know.
Boy, when I say ask me questions and shit.
Yeah, they're bringing them, man.
Some shit.
From convenience stores to lectures at gentlemen's clubs to Cobra Kai. We got it all this week. I mean, really, it's all over the place. You got to love it. You got to love your audience.
I do love my audience.
They're awesome.
Why you're making fun of them.
I'm not. I love it. So let's go to Brad Stanton. We're back to wrestling. What did you think of the way Big Show?
Does he know Stan Stanton?
Brad Stanton. Stanton.
Yeah, I know, but does he know Stan?
Stan Stanton?
Yeah.
No clue. I don't know if Brad knows Stan Stanton or not.
All right.
Brad Stanton's a real colorful guy, fun guy, big personality. You would enjoy you some Brad Stanton. I'll tell you that. I know a lot of these guys, but I don't know about Stan. Was Stan Stanton, was he a colorful guy? Was he a lot big personality? Your buddy Stan Stanton?
Oh, yeah.
Was definitely. He? Hell of a guy. So what'd you think of the way Big Show debuted coming out of that ring at St. Valentine's Day Massacre and the way that he debuted there? What'd you think about that?
I thought it was great. I'm not sure that if it was the right way to debut a giant, but at the same time, it was the right way to debut a giant. It was impactful. He took the biggest star in the company and put him in an impossible situation and was able to make an impact right away. So, yeah, it was good.
All right. Matt M. is up next. He says, Bruce, in the HBK 97-98 episode, you mentioned sometimes scripting intentional screw-ups. Can you give us an example of a past intentional screw-up?
Well, I would say immediately what comes to mind is when, first of all, I don't know how to say this, but I really hate when someone will talk about, oh, yeah, they screwed up that spot. How do you know what the spot was supposed to be? And in life, things don't go, you know, aren't perfect. And it's got to be pretty and perfect. And look at this great spot. No, I can't stand that. But Shawn Michaels and Mick Foley, you know, were two who particularly said, hey, let's have a spot in the match that we do that looks like, to the people that read that crap and think they know everything, that looks like, oh my God, we screwed up. Because Sean had his episode with Vader where everybody was like, oh, Sean showed his ass and all this other stuff. So they put it into the match, fed into it. Just for, you know, sometimes you got to entertain yourself.
Just for shits and giggles. That's right. There you go.
Have you ever had the giggles while you're shitting?
No.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Rob wants to know, do you think Dixie Carter, here we go, we're switching to some TNA years for you, is underappreciated in the wrestling world?
I don't know. Look, man, you know, I think Dixie was placed in a very precarious position. It was, you know, she bought something from the Jarretts and was able to keep it running and keep it afloat for a long time. Now, was she successful at it in the end? Nope. However, you got to give her credit for being able to keep TNA afloat with as many different people that she had in there. You know, me included, but from, you know, the Russos to the Hogans and Bischoff and yeah. Me and
Jerry.
Everybody after that, you know, yeah. It just, she kept trying and she kept swinging. But I don't know if this business was the right business for her.
There you go. Well said. Brian Rapp is up next. He says, Bruce, unfortunately, I'm facing a battle with cancer. Don't need anything, but just wanted to say when I was 10 years old watching Brother Love, my mom, who was a non-wrestling fan, would overhear you and the I love you and adopt it as a way to tell me her feelings. It annoyed me a bit, but did you know how over that would get and the number of impersonations it would generate? Seems only behind people like Savage and Hogan from that era in WWF.
Well, first of all, I'm glad that I had that kind of an effect on someone's life and someone's mother. So, you know, having dealt with cancer and what have you in my family, it's a tough road, and I hope that you're doing well, and I hope you continue to do well. But I'm glad. Look, that always blows me away.
Yeah.
It always blows me away, the effect that you have on someone's life and that you don't always know. So I think it's cool. I'm very humbled by that because to me, I'm just a guy, and I don't, especially when I was a character on television, I never looked at it that way.
Yeah. Brian, first of all, our thoughts and prayers are with you, man, as you're dealing this, this battle. And I know you say you don't need anything, but man, I love that you took the time to write this out and make sure Bruce was aware, number one, because at the end of the day, these guys truly are there as entertainers. And Bruce, you were one of them.
See, for him,
yeah,
I would say, I love you.
There you go.
That's for his mom, see?
There you go. He did it. He did his impersonation. There you go, Brian. I know. That wasn't for me.
Not for
Kyle. That was for Brian. So there you go. And that's good, man. That puts smiles on faces. Brian, we're wishing nothing but happiness and hope that you can kick cancer's ass, my friend. Roby Neely is up next, Bruce. And he says, Bruce, in early days of Raw pre-taping, 1 hour shows in the same arena, why was the hard cam switch between tapings and how exactly was this done? Were people moved from one side of the arena to the other? How long did the switch take and what did the audience do while waiting?
I have no idea what the hell they think they're talking about.
Yeah, did you ever do that? Did you ever switch hard cams in the same arena?
No.
Positions? Okay.
I mean.
Sorry, Roby.
Sorry, man. No.
He can't think of any occasion that would have happened, bud. All right, Steve's up next. He says, would Hulk Hogan's imaginary 1993 European tour have done bigger business if he'd actually have wrestled on those shows?
Well, you know what? One day, if anybody ever wants to take the time to look at the facts and not look at just what they want to look at, you'll understand.
There you go. Look at the facts. There you go. Mike Schenck is up next. He said, was there ever any discussion?
Yo, does he know Jim Schenck? Jim Schenck's my buddy, man. Lives in Friendswood, Texas. I swear to God, you think I'm making this shit up?
I mean, I'm starting to. Yeah, I mean, we got Stan Stanton. We got Jim Photo guy.
No, who else?
Johnny Photo.
Pay attention. Doesn't cost anything.
Who's the Ronquillo guy? Chris Ronquillo. I mean, there's just too many that are happening now, Bruce. I mean, come on. Too many of this. You know a guy named Schenck?
Jim Schenck.
All right, Jim Schenck. Yeah. Okay, I'm buying it. You look dead serious.
Jim Schenck is camera 12.
Camera 12, Jim Schenck. Yeah. Got it. Well, Mike Schenck says, was there ever any discussion in 2006 to convince Brett to do anything on camera outside of the Hall of Fame appearance? Certainly seems like a missed opportunity to cash in on nostalgia, given the roster back then. You had Shawn, Flair, Triple H. Well, you know. Thanks, pal. Missed opportunity.
No, it wasn't our missed opportunity. Brett didn't want to do it.
Okay.
I mean, we wanted Brett to stay and be a part of everything. Brett wanted to come in and leave. And that was his prerogative. And I get it. Brett was coming in, hadn't been around for a while, and was testing the waters. Maybe didn't feel like he really wanted to be around all that. So yeah. He wanted to get in and get out. That was Brett's call. That wasn't our call. We would have loved to have had Brett and offered that invitation and really wanted him to be a part of everything. And that was his choice not to do it.
Clear as crystal. Gilbert, sometimes Pat. That's his name. Gilbert, sometimes Pat. He has a question. He said, you know how wrestlers eat fast food after a show? Does Vince eat fast food? If so, what's his top five?
No, Vince doesn't eat fast food. Vince was thoroughly disgusted when I ordered a corn dog and he didn't know what a corn dog was. And I explained to him what a corn dog was.
Oh, I got to hear this.
And what? You don't know what a corn dog is?
No, I want to hear how you explain it to Vince.
And it's a hot dog on a stick dipped in corn batter and then deep fried.
And then he just, what did he just stare at you?
And he's like,
you're going to eat that? And so we also had hamburgers and other things. Pat and I did, and Vince had egg whites. But
not even grab a grilled chicken breast off a sandwich and just eat the breast or something like that. At a fast food
joint in a pinch. Yeah, he had egg whites.
Okay.
Honey, you mean you? What about the yolk? Yolk's the best part. And he was, wasn't having any of it. So
nothing.
We were going to leave, and Vince realized, goes, did you get your corn dog? And I said, no, shit, I forgot. Because she didn't give me my corn dog with my rest of my food. Went back, said, excuse me, ma'am, but I didn't get my corn dog. And she goes, oh, it ain't done draining yet.
Oh, dear God.
And says, you're going to eat something that has to drain? At which time I realized, oh, God, you're right. Man, no, don't drain it. My God, that's the best part.
Leave all that shit in, honey.
Yeah. Oh, you want to drain it and get all the good juice out of it.
That's right. I'm going to slurp that shit down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yellow mustard.
There you go.
I will still go to the Wienery where
the Wienery.
Fans of the show, yes, where fans of the show actually said hello to me the other day, and it was great to see him, but I would still go there just to get a corn dog.
Mm. Now, you said mustard. Mustard and ketchup, just mustard.
Oh, God, dang, you don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
Oh, okay.
Nobody puts ketchup on a hot dog. At least normal people don't put ketchup on a hot dog.
I know abnormal people that do, so that's why I wanted to clarify. Okay, so you're not abnormal.
That's not right.
Blasphemy. Gotcha.
Yeah, you put yellow mustard on a hot dog, man.
That's it. Simple. All right, George Morris.
French's. Go George.
What's that?
French's yellow mustard.
French's, okay.
All the things I've been plugging, I hope.
I tell you what, my goodness, we haven't even read an ad yet, and you've just plugged everything. We've got Reese's cups. What else? We got the Rocks energy drinks, French's yellow mustard, the Wienery. What's next? The Wienery. All right, George
That's
Morris.
A real place.
I know. I believe you. I just everybody. Let's find. Are they on social media? We got to put over the Wienery. It sounds like a place I'd love. Wait, what? Okay. George Morris is up next. He says, was there ever a time where Vince ever thought about purchasing or building his own arena as a home base for shows besides the failed Vegas hotel and arena?
As a matter of fact, that's the foundation of Raw, was to build an arena. I wanted to do it at the studio where adjacent to the studio where our warehouse was to be able to build that out and essentially build a TV studio arena where we could have roughly 1,500, maybe 2,000 audience members, put the ring in, light it specifically for television, and run everything through the Northeast, bring talent in, and do it live every Monday night. That was a cost savings idea because of the way that we were doing primetime wrestling at the time. So Vince owned the Cape Cod Coliseum, and he'd been in the arena business, so I think there was a big part of him that really didn't want to be in the arena business again.
Okay. Yeah, that if he had already been in the business and having to know part of it, then that explains it. All right, RS Morrison 33. Any Morrisons that you know?
Jim.
Besides John? Okay.
Jim.
Yeah, Jim. Yeah, there you go. Okay, is it true that Jake Roberts was going to get a program with Hogan, but the idea was squashed after Jake got a huge pop DDTing Hogan, and the brass was worried that Jake would steal some of the Hulkster's thunder?
I wasn't there when that happened, so I don't really know. I have no idea if there's any truth to that or not. By the time I got there, Jake was pretty much babyface.
Had you heard that one, though, at all? Have you heard that before?
I've heard Jake say
tell that story. Yeah.
Whether or not it's true, I have no way of, I have no version of
validating it. Yeah.
Say one way or another.
Okay. FF Handbook is back for another question. Bruce, why was Linda's music WrestleMania 10's theme? Her theme music was always WrestleMania 10's theme.
Which WrestleMania theme would they have rather it had been?
I don't know. It's just that she didn't have her own brand, her own her own music. It was just WrestleMania 10. Oh, here comes Linda.
Well, how do you know that the WrestleMania 10
theme? She didn't have her own version of No Chance in Hell.
How do you know the WrestleMania 10 theme? It wasn't Linda's theme.
And they used it for WrestleMania 10. Oh, well, there you go. You turned that one right on its ass. There you go. Okay.
That's what I did.
We got to figure out what came first, 10's theme or Linda McMahon walking out to it. So I don't have that at my fingertips. Jittery Jackanapy has a question.
Does he know old Ben Nackerbacky? Well, does he?
I don't know. But Jittery Jackanapy, old Ben's cousin, says, say Triple H never got injured in 2001. Here, this is hypothetical. If he never got injured in 2001, how different is that entire year? How does WrestleMania 18 look without that injury? Does Triple H still win the Royal Rumble? Or does it potentially go to Kurt Angle, Undertaker, Rock, or someone else? So, Bruce, pull out that crystal ball. Talk to us about all things. Put it in reverse. And what could have been in 2001 if Triple H never got injured? What does that look like?
Yeah, there's a lot of what ifs. And I think that you can't really answer that because it's what's the thing? You know, well, what if Crawl had wings and they'd fly? Well, that ain't gonna fucking happen. So with that, it's yeah, man. We had plans of him and Austin being a tandem, but when you look at it, that injury changed so many things that the return of him was inevitable because you'd play these videos in the arenas of his rehab and just, you know, to see him. And the audience went crazy. And I don't know if it was, you know, fondness makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah.
Or they were so ready for him to come back and they were in love with him. So we're like going, wait a minute, man, he left as a heel. We want to bring him back as a heel. But the audience reaction at that point just, there was no way not to do it.
There you go. I'm sure a lot would have looked different with Triple H never getting injured there. But yeah, like what you guys have normally had to do, it's always let's figure out a way to change things on the fly and make it happen. Gary Wharton is up next. Gary says, if Dusty
Rhodes.
Does
he know Doug Wharton?
Well, this guy's name is Wharton, W-H-E-R-T-O-N. So right. I don't think him and Doug Wharton know each other. If Dusty Rhodes hadn't left the Florida territory for the Crockett's and taken the top talent with him, do you think the territory, Florida that is, could have survived and flourished while the other NWA affiliated companies were going under or being taken over by Vince and the Crockett's? So you say Dusty stays in Florida, keeps the Florida territory there. Do you think it could have survived and flourished?
No.
Okay.
They didn't have the money or the wherewithal to do it.
Drew Roper is up next.
Does he know Mr. and Mrs. Roper?
Mr. and Mrs. Company? Yeah, he does. He may, you know.
Okay.
Come on, knock on my door. All right, Bruce, and here he goes. Hers and hers and his, Three's Company too. All right, here we go. I know you weren't there at the time, but what was your reaction when Jerry Lawler went into cardiac arrest on air?
I watched it live. And we were in Orlando doing TNA taping. As I watched it, we didn't know, you know, you're in a restaurant, you're watching, you don't have audio. And it's like, what the hell is going on here? Is this some kind of an angle? Is this, you know, what are they doing? But then started getting text messages about, you know, hey, Lawler just had a heart attack on air. And that more than anything, I just was worried for him because I'd had my heart attack and I just wanted him to be okay. That was my main thought. Was, you know, make him okay. Don't let this happen. And had a lot of empathy for him because it was, again, watching live and all we're getting are text messages and stuff and from people.
And there were three or four of us at the table, and everybody's getting different word and different reports. So it was, scary, man. That's a scary deal.
No doubt about it. And, man, it's so good to see him doing well. And for so long since that occurred. So there you go.
Wow, he's like 109.
And his hair's still the same color. And he still has it all. So, well, jealous.
Okay.
Okay, all right, I'll keep going. David Lanham's up next. Bruce, was there a gimmick you thought wouldn't get over that made a boatload of cash? How about one you thought that would succeed and it bombed hard? So let's start with the first one. One that you were like, dude, this is the shits, but man, it was money.
God. Probably a lot of those, but I'll give you one that we all thought was interesting, but we didn't think it would ever be big, and it was the Genius with Lanny Poffo. I thought that was just such a great compliment to Lanny, and everybody was just so happy for him that it did get over. But when you're listening to it going, man, I don't see how this works in its initial stages. And then you have, you know, different guys that have come through that you think, okay, man, if you could only get some steam behind this and do this way, and the talent just didn't really deliver. That Amish Roadkill guy,
yeah,
you know, came in and we took all that gimmick off of him and put him in trunks and boots. In the training at OVW, man, the guy he was aggressive and it was a completely different look. You never knew, like, we didn't know who the hell the guy was. But he was big. He could do some impressive stuff. When that red light went on and it was time, you know, for the show, he couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it.
You know what I liked as a kid with Lanny Poffo was before the Genius, when he'd read off the Frisbee and then just throw it out in the crowd. Man, that was some fun stuff.
The poet laureate of the WWE. Yeah, that was horrible.
All right. Umar's up next.
Umar.
Yeah.
Umar.
Yeah. Now, do you know another Umar?
I know Lamar.
Yeah. Bruce, if The Undertaker was managed by Jim Cornette, how would Jim describe The Undertaker?
Taker would have killed me. Motherfucker. Oh.
How would Jim describe the Taker?
Goddamn big red-headed motherfucking Wendy-looking son of a bitch. Put a fucking couple patties on him, double cheese, double mayo, extra onion, I'll eat the son of a bitch. Goddamn it, can you tell that whore sister of yours to fuck?
Oh man, I still love the cartoons they've done of you with the whole George the Rat story. Every time I hear you start doing your Jim Cornette, I think of the George the Rat story. Nothing's gonna beat that.
Poor George.
Ah, so good.
At least his death was able to give us a great story.
That's right. Jason Hopkins is up next. Not saying it would be a good idea, but brother love as the great power in the ministry, that had been the most logical option considering what was available. Would have you done it if Vince wanted you to go that direction?
Not. I love brother love. Brother love was very, very good to me. The timing of brother love was, it was all timing. And coming off of the scandal of Jim and Tammy Faye,
yes,
helped Brother Love, people go, oh, this is what they're doing. When in fact, Brother Love had debuted before the Jim and Tammy scandal hit. And after Brother Love debuted, then the scandal hit and it was like, hello. So it was great timing and a lot of luck. But it was also in a time where you didn't have, you know,
that was your Sundays. That was your Sunday entertainment. Well, it was all these televangelists, and they hadn't been exposed yet. So there were believers that they could do no wrong. And I just looked at that and saw an opportunity that most people that I knew, at least, would look at them as these total con artists and just scams. So I was able to capitalize.
Who could have been Brother Love's Tammy Faye? I mean, with the mascara running down her cheeks. I mean, who could have been your Tammy Faye Baker?
I tried to Sherry wanted to do it all the time. Sherry really wanted to do it. But you know,
God, that could have been good.
Doing her thing. But there was a period there where we were really close on two different occasions to get Jessica Hahn. And she got an agent that just was like, oh no, this will kill you. I'm like, wait. You diddle Jim Baker.
Exactly.
And expose him and do all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. Being with Brother Love is going to kill your career. What career? You were a secretary.
It's over already. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever.
She had her TMZ moment before there was TMZ.
Yeah.
I would have loved the Tammy Faye style character with you. Would have been good. Bull of the Woods is up next. He says, Bruce, is there any one wrestler that looking back on it, you wish you would have done more with? Man, give me, I wish I would have done more with that guy or gal.
The Goon? Oh, no. I mean, there's probably a lot. There's probably a lot of guys that you look at and go, ah, wow, man, I sure do wish that we could have come up with something more for them and or that they just fell. You know, there's guys sometimes that have in their own head what they should and or shouldn't be. And if they're not realizing that in their mind, then they think, okay, well, you've screwed them over. And sometimes it's either timing or there just isn't anything for them at the time. I remember Bastion Booker being upset and saying that he couldn't afford to work here anymore, that he needed us to do something with him and or else he would have to finish up and he could make more money if he wasn't working here anymore. And
Pat
told him, hey, you know, right there is Vince's door. Go talk to Vince. You know, let him know. He's the guy that's going to make the decision. And he walked in and said that to Vince. And Vince says, oh, okay. Well, let me look at my book. He opened up his book and said, you know what? You can finish up tonight.
So does a guy
making more money tomorrow?
Does a guy like that walk in and are you like, Bastion? Yes. What can we help you with, Mr. Booger? I mean, what is it? And I just can't afford to work here anymore. I mean, I can't even imagine what that conversation sounds like.
But again, when you say something like that to someone, I'm sorry. Here's your notice. Go and do, you know, I can make more elsewhere. I'll give you a great example of that is the Young Bucks when they were in TNA.
Okay.
They came to me and said, hey, we can make more on the independents. And I knew that Russo did not have anything for them and was not high on them. So they told me that they could make more on the independents. And I said, man, go make more on the independents then.
Yeah.
So can we have our release? Yes. Right now, you can have your release. We weren't doing anything with them.
And that's an example of a talent that went and then did.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Good for them.
Yep. All right. Let's keep going here. Kent Graham. I think he was a quarterback. Superstar? I don't know. I don't know if he's related.
Tell me, I don't know Superstar Billy Graham now.
No, I know you know Superstar Billy Graham, but Kent Graham was also a quarterback in the NFL at one point.
I don't know him. Who the fuck is that? Oh. Who did he ever be?
I don't know. He played for the Cardinals, I believe.
You know Dr. Jerry?
I don't know Dr. Jerry, but I know I'm sure you do. Long time wrestling guy.
He's no longer with us. So.
Well, but you knew him at one point. I mean, you were working when you were 10 years old. I mean, you knew them all. He wants to know, I'm just curious, what was Bruce's first ever car that he got? What was your first set of wheels, Bruce?
A 1974 Chevy Vega notchback.
Look at that big grin on your face. What color was it?
Blue, navy.
Okay.
Navy blue, and it had a bent frame. And my dad told me that if I could get it to pass inspection, that I could have it for $500. And there was no way on God's green earth that anybody in their right mind would pass that for inspection, because the frame was bent, so the lights shined off cockeyed. But I had a friend of mine that worked at the Gulf Station where they did inspections. And I took down there, he slapped a sticker on it, and I got it through inspection. I drove it for about 6 or 7 months before my dad basically traded for a Dodge Monaco, a white Dodge Monaco that was like a police car.
Nice. What is your favorite car, all-time car you've ever driven?
Nah, I'm not a car guy.
Nah.
Yeah, I like my Genesis now. I got a Genesis GV80. I love it. So
okay.
I'm not really a, like... Yeah. Like Conrad. See, you know, Conrad has got like, what is he up to now? He's got two dozen Rolls Royces.
You go in, he's got one of every color. They're BMWs.
I know. He's only got like nine Bentleys now, though.
When you start off by saying this is my daily driver. Okay. Now I'm already out of your league. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Okay. That's not you, though.
Yeah, and the McLarens and all that stuff.
Yeah, all that bullshit.
I don't know how the hell he fits in some of them.
Yeah, like a Lamborghini. Could you imagine him like shoehorning in and out of a...
Yeah, but he's still got him out there.
I know. They're for his guests when they show up, apparently.
But he won't let me drive them.
No. Matt Carter's up next. Were you ever at a show where there was a riot? And if so, would you share that story?
I was in shows where I caused the riot.
I can imagine.
So Port Arthur, Texas there's a golden triangle in Texas. Port Arthur, Beaumont, and Orange, maybe? Port Arthur, Beaumont, maybe Orange. I guess it's not Winnie. I know Winnie, Texas very well.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of down there in the Golden Triangle area too. Great people out of Winnie.
Is that the where Chris Ronquillo lives?
No.
Okay.
No. Ronquillo doesn't know. Okay. You know.
Just checking. You know so many people.
Port Arthur, Texas. We had just started running there, and I was a referee. And the hot issue at that time, obviously Jose and Gino, and there's a guy named Danny Ortiz, El Halcón. And he wore a mask. He wore a mask, but on the back of his yellow trunks, it said Danny. I was like, man. Like you're El Halcón, but you got trunks that say Danny. So there's Danny in the ring. He's working with El Gran Marcus. And it was El Gran Marcus and Gino Hernandez who were the adversaries to Jose Lothario and El Halcón. But it was a single match with Marcus versus Halcón. Jose was in the corner of Halcón. Gino Hernandez was in the corner of Marcus. And there was this one big redneck sitting front row. Big son of a bitch, too. I bet you he was probably about 6'4". Lanky, had his jeans tucked in his boots, baseball cap, and a big strapping boy, man, like, you know, like a cowboy looking, real cowboy looking son of a gun. Like he's been out punching doggies all day. And
right.
Stuff, right.
He's been tackling them steers. Yeah.
And he's drinking beer and he's having him, you know, hell of a time. He's giving Gino a rash of shit. And Gino's in his face. You know, fuck you, cowboy, and you redneck son of a bitch, and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And next thing you know, cowboy takes his beer, throws it in Gino's face. Now, I'm refereeing, and I'm watching all this out of the corner of my eye, and I can see what's going down, and I roll out of the ring to get in between
Gino and the guy in the front row. Because now Gino is coming at him, and Gino's swinging. And this guy's swinging. He's a big son of a bitch. Marcus sees this. Marcus rolls out. And Marcus goes after the guy. Well, now this guy's buddy and this other guy over here, another guy over there, and one over here, and they all start coming. And it's just me, Gino, and Marcus who are fighting off about eight people. And they are literally coming. The arena just like goes up on two sides and a third side. There were some bleacher type seats. And people are coming. I remember looking up and going, oh, my God. Because people are coming, and they're taking off their belts.
Oh, my God. They got
those big Texas belt buckles. Yes, the belt buckles. And they're swinging them overhead. And I'm looking around, and people around us are taking off their belts and swinging them. What the fuck? And I'm getting hit in the head with belt buckles. And all of a sudden, there's this little tiny son of a bitch. And he's in the fight. But he ain't fighting us. He's like subduing people, basically. Like taking people down and getting people away and stuff to finally, you know, be able to get us to a little bit to where we're not in a fight anymore. And I look down at this son of a bitch, and again, he ain't hitting us. I'm like, what the hell? And he flashes a badge at me. Oh, I'm sorry. First, I noticed his gun. He had a gun on his hip.
Oh, God.
I'm like, oh, shit, man. This guy's got a gun. But then he shows me his badge. I'm like, okay. He goes, let's get out of here. Because the cops that we had hired, they're like, oh, hey, this is all part of the show. And they didn't want to get in the fight.
Right. They're just claiming all that.
Swinging belt buckles.
Yeah.
I mean, they were smart. But so we literally fight our way back to the dressing room. We get back into the dressing room. The building manager, they come and they lock us in the dressing room because there's a full-fledged riot now. It's people throwing shit, chairs being thrown, belt buckles are being thrown. And Marcus, great guy, double tough son of a bitch. Like, as I'm trying to get him out of it and get him out of there, he's like, no ingles, amigo, no ingles. Now, that's my friend, you know, and I'm like, man, please don't give me that no English bullshit.
Gotta yes. Yeah.
And so they lock us in the heel dressing room. So Gino's pissed off. Marcus is pissed off. They want to go out and fight the world. And I'm scared to death. 17, 18 years old, maybe.
Dude, what a life.
And scared to death. So finally they come. And like you can hear the roar of the people, and it's probably only maybe 1,500 people, but still might as well have been 150,000 because they weren't happy. And you hear the roar kind of die down, and you can hear like, okay, they're getting it settled down. They're getting people out of the building and all this shit. And they finally come. And you hear the key turn, and we've now showered up, and we're like, you know, okay, let's get out of here. What had transpired is they got people out of the building, but it was a civic center, and it was so like it was City Hall, basically. And then next to City Hall is a police station. Well, they had turned over a police car right outside the building, right where we got to walk out to get to our cars. And it's like, holy shit. So the cops come, and they're pissed because we've had a riot. Building manager's pissed. Everybody's pissed. They get us to our cars and said, okay, we're going to give you a police escort out of here. And we're like, oh, thank God. We're going to get you right to the town line, and then you're on your own. And that was a scary thing, man, because there were people that followed us out. And the cop just hauled ass, man. They had cops in front of us and behind us, and once we hit the town line, they pulled over and they stopped. They stopped, like, you know, cars from following us. We just took off and went home. But that was a scary deal.
Dude.
I've been in plenty of those like that where just people. I remember Gary Hart one time, and he was with the Spoiler, and they had the
old United States Championship or whatever the hell it was. And Gary had that thing swinging over his head trying to get back to the dressing room.
Holy shit. Do you feel like it was always wilder down south? Or not? It had nothing to do with that as far
as... that's where I was.
So yeah, true.
You know, Cornette tells, you know, great stories about being in Louisiana and Mid-South, and they would come.
Yeah.
They was coming.
They was a coming, no doubt about it. Bruce, we got time for one more question, and then we'll wrap up this episode. Mike Davis. We'll wrap up questions and shit. Mike Davis says, we recently lost the great Gene LaBelle. Any good stories about Mr. LaBelle? Also, would love to hear Bruce's version of the time Gene LaBelle choked out Steven Seagal.
So I met Gene LaBelle maybe once or twice in my life. Didn't know Gene well. Heard plenty of stories from Roddy Piper about Gene LaBelle and my brother about Gene LaBelle and others that knew Gene. A double tough son of a bitch. A hell of a character. I was able to talk to him for like maybe 5 minutes at Cauliflower Alley Club thing one time. But he was a tough son of a bitch. And I heard from someone that was on the set with the whole Steven Seagal thing that, you know, Seagal was just bragging about nobody could take him down. Nobody could choke him out, by God, with his Aikido crap. And Seagal, I met Seagal one time out in L.A., and he was an arrogant guy. Really not the kind of guy, from his impressions when you're around him, very full of himself, and big guy, too. Big guy. But Gene LaBelle was like, man, you know, I think I could pretty much choke you out, take you down, or whatever the hell it was. And he laughed at it, and Gene choked him out. And rumor is that Seagal shit his pants.
Ooh.
Again, I wasn't there. I don't know. I was hearing from someone who allegedly was there. And
rumor and innuendo.
The whole thing that it was just Seagal kind of holding court, and LaBelle was there because Gene did all the stuntman stuff, and he was the go-to stuntman guy. And Gene took exception to, really? I could take you out. And did.
Sounds like
he got fired immediately.
Yeah, but what a badass, man.
Gene LaBelle, man. He's, man.
Well, Bruce, listen. Next week, next time you're together with Conrad, it's No Mercy 2007 Allstate Arena. The show ended up being...
I thought you just had a cold, Connie.
Yeah. Well, when I'm over my cold and sound more normal, we're going to be... Yeah, right. No, it's going to be you and Conrad back together.
Oh, hit me up!
Hit me up. No, but it's going to be No Mercy 07. It's the Allstate Arena. Headlined by 3 WWE title matches. Listen to this. This is when John Cena tears his pec on the go-home Raw. You're going to talk about how the decision is made to put the title on Orton, have him wrestle Triple H. Hunter takes on Umaga before Hunter and Randy Orton finish the show in a last man standing match. You guys are also going to discuss Mr. Kennedy and the fallout of Cena's injury, CM Punk defending the EACW title against Big Daddy V, and the Punjabi prison match between the Great Khali and Batista. I know you're excited about that show, bud.
Boy, if there was ever some things that I'd like to forget.
We're not letting you hear, man. We're not letting you hear. So there you go. No Mercy 2007 is the topic, pal.
Oh, bless my heart.
Oh, I know you're looking forward to that. Well, listen, Bruce, this was fun sitting in with you this week and asking you questions and shit.
Well, Pablo, been my pleasure, sir.
Listen,
I don't mean that.
I know. I can feel the love right here through the screen, you know, and that's great. And this is an audio only show, but me and Bruce literally through Skype get to sit here and just talk to each other face to face. And this has been my pleasure to be able to sit
Skype,
here and
Skype chat. Anyway.
Yeah.
Is this Skype? What is this?
This is Skype. Yeah. This is what you like. I've been told this is what you like. Yeah. This is your deal.
It's just what I have set up.
It's your gen. No one else has showed you Zoom.
Yeah,
I got you. Well, listen, on behalf of Bruce Pritchard, this is Paul Bromwell, and this has been Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard.
I'm sorry, folks, but I truly do love you, and thank you for supporting the show, and rock on!
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.